Yaakov was very afraid and distressed. That's the description in the verses. He takes many different precautions in order to avoid a violent reunion with his brother, a reunion that is potentially with severe consequences. At the same time, in our parasha, Yaakov receives a new name, Yisrael, a name he actually receives twice. The name at its core describes a person caught in conflict, and it is given to Yaakov the first time in the midst of a struggle. What does the parasha teach us about the relationship between Yisrael and conflict or struggle? And what do the shifts in the Torah between Yaakov's old name and his new name, and back again, teach us? What do we do with fear? Fear of violence. Yaakov is afraid of the possibility of conflict when meeting Esav, and that fear is grounded in what his messengers report to him. The messengers return to Yaakov saying, "We came to your brother to Esav. Moreover, he is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him." Esav is on his way towards Yaakov with a group that is hard not to see as a threat. Yaakov responds with a creative, multi-layered strategy. We know Yaakov as someone skilled in tactics, sometimes not fully honest ones. Here, too, we meet Yaakov, the strategist. But this time, he channels his creativity toward refusing danger, seeking help, and preparing wisely. This moment of deep fear drives him to act constructively and from multiple angles. First, he organizes his camp so that if an attack does occur, not everyone will be lost. Yaakov divides his people. In addition, he turns to God. Yaakov said, "God of my father Abraham and of my father Isaac, I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. For with only my staff I crossed this Jordan, and now I have become two camps. Deliver me, please." Yaakov's prayer too is multidimensional. It recalls the past, the bond God had with Yaakov's forebearers. It expresses gratitude for the present. "You have dealt kindly with me and brought me to this moment." And it appeals to the future. "You promised me a destiny that cannot be fulfilled if Esav kills me." Yaakov also takes a third step. He reaches out to Esav before Esav reaches him. In doing so, he actively shapes the encounter rather than merely awaiting its outcome. He selected from what was at hand a gift for his brother Esav. He placed each herd in the hands of his servants and said, "Go on ahead of me and leave space between each herd." He instructed the first one to say, "When my brother Esav meets you and asks, 'To whom do you belong? Where are you going? And who do these animals belong to?' You shall say, 'They belong to your servant Yaakov. They are a gift sent to my lord Esav, and he himself is behind us.'" He gave the same instructions to the second, the third, and all who followed the herds. The Torah even shares Yaakov's internal reasoning. He is trying to create an encounter in which Esav will be able to tolerate him, perhaps even accept him. For he said, "I will soothe this face with the gift that goes ahead of me. Afterwards, I will see his face. Perhaps he will show me favor." Against the backdrop of Yaakov's fear and his expectation of violence, the Torah describes a night of confrontation. Yaakov was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. At the end of this struggle, Yaakov receives a new name, or perhaps a new title. "Your name shall no longer be Yaakov, but Yisrael." The name Yisrael is given as a response to Yaakov's demand for a blessing. But it is not entirely clear how this response constitutes a blessing. The explanation sounds more like a description, "For you have struggled with God and with humans and have prevailed." The explanation refers to the past. You have struggled. While the name Yisrael has a sense of the present or ongoing future. And since this name emerges from conflict and grappling, the question becomes even sharper. Is this truly a blessing? The struggle lasts all night, and Yaakov refuses to release the man until he blesses him. I will not let you go unless you bless me. In Bereshit Rabbah, this demand is described as insistent, almost threatening. The angel said, "Let me go, for it is dawn, for the time has come for me to offer praise to the Holy One." Yaakov said, "Let your colleagues praise him." The angel, the man, said, "I cannot." Yaakov said, "Have you finished your task and earned your reward? I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man, the angel, responded, "But I was not sent for that purpose." Yaakov said again, "Have you finished your task and earned your reward? I will not let you go unless you bless me." The angel finally yields, perhaps out of exhaustion, and reveals a future secret. God is destined to appear to you in Bet El and to change your name. Thus, the name Israel is born out of struggle, insistence, almost coercion, fitting for a name rooted in, "For you have struggled," Sarita. The Midrash uses this to address a narrative difficulty in the Torah, the fact that Yaakov receives the name Israel twice. Between these two namings, Yaakov himself uses the name Israel. The Torah tells us that Yaakov approaches Shechem, buys a plot of land, and builds an altar there. He called it El, God of Israel. The Midrash reads this sharply. Resh Lakish said, "You are God in the heavens, and I am God on earth." According to this reading, Yaakov applies the title El to himself, God, perhaps an expression of overconfidence. Indeed, the Midrash continues with criticism. Resh Lakish said, "And you would take authority for yourself?" The name Israel is given again, this time without struggle. God appeared to Yaakov again when he came from Padan Aram and blessed him. God said to him, "Your name is Yaakov. Your name shall no longer be Yaakov, but Israel shall be your name." And he named him Israel. This second naming comes together with the familiar patriarchal blessing of land and descendants. Yaakov receives the name anew, this time without pressure, without demanding it. Yet unlike Avraham and Sarah, whose names disappear entirely, Yaakov's original name does not vanish. Despite the verse, "Your name shall no longer be Yaakov," the Torah continues immediately in the same chapter and many times afterwards to call him Yaakov. Bereshit Rabbah makes this explicit. It is not that the name Yaakov is uprooted from its place. The bestowal of the name Israel is fundamentally different from the other name changes in the book of Genesis. It occurs not once, but twice. One instance is a divine act accompanied by a blessing, but it appears earlier as well, born out of a nighttime struggle with an anonymous, shadowy figure at a moment of transition, just before a fatal encounter, a situation marked by vulnerability and instability concerning Yaakov's future, fate, and identity. Unlike the other name changes in Genesis, Yaakov's previous name continues to accompany him, in contrast to the other transitions of names and identities. The shift from Yaakov to Israel is not absolute. The old identity remains a living and legitimate possibility. It seems that this teaches not only about Yaakov's complex character, but also about the Torah's approach to the question of how we, the children of Yaakov Israel, engage in struggle. The parashat teaches that as the people of Israel, part of our story is to fight. Part of our very essence, our name, is bound up with struggle. Yet we are the people of Israel and the children of Yaakov, and we have a choice at every moment. There are times when the people of Israel must be Yaakov, strategic, creative, and acting with deliberate caution. And there are moments when we must be Israel, wrestling, confronting, fighting through the night. Our identity lies not in a sharp transition from Yaakov to Yisrael, not in a final decision between the model of caution and craftiness and the model of struggle, but in the ongoing movement between them. Shabbat Shalom.